Hi, I'm Leah Lane, an award-winning travel writer and author of Places I Remember, Tales, Truths, Delights from 100 Countries. On this podcast, we share conversations with travelers about fascinating destinations and memorable experiences around the world. Croatia sits across from Italy on the Adriatic Sea at the junction of Central and Southeast Europe. It has become a popular destination known for its nature, culture, history, and gastronomy. Our guests are Lejla Kresek-Djurek, the Director of Croatian National Tourism in North America, and Antonia Ehrlich, President of Stories Hotels. Welcome, Lejla and Antonia, to Places I Remember.
Hi, Leah. It's very nice meeting you here and very happy to be get this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Let's just talk a little bit about the history of Croatia.
Well, what to say? Croatia has a long, long history. I always like to say that if you wonder how Europe looks like, just come to Croatia. All European empires have been leaving their footprints actually in Croatia over the last centuries and millennia. We have a city which is 8,000 years old. And if you wonder about the Roman culture, the Greek culture, and the Hungarian Empire, or even the Ottomans that ruled some parts of Croatia for 500 years, it's actually very easy to understand the culture, the gastronomy, and even the way of life, just scrolling through all the parts of Croatia and understand how history melts in this tiny, tiny piece of land in the center of Europe.
I would emphasize that Croatia declared independence from Yugoslavia on June 25th. 1991, it's now celebrated as Statehood Day. So that takes us up sort of toward the present. Let me just ask you, people know all about the pleasures of the Adriatic coastline, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Can you tell us about the numbers of North Americans traveling to Croatia?
Oh, well, very proud to say that we already broke all the records this year. Already in October, end of October, we had more American travelers than in 2019, which has been a record year till now. So now, until the end of this year, we are forecasting 710,000 people, and it's going to be already more than 2 million overnights, which is really a record for us in terms of American travelers.
Wow. I know everybody's talking about Croatia. It's one of the places you hear about all the time now, so everybody's discovering it if they haven't already. Let's talk about what not to miss. First, we have to start with Dubrovnik. It's in southern Croatia. It's on the Adriatic or the Dalmatian coast. It's nicknamed the Pearl of the Adriatic. And I've mentioned when I first went there and I took the cable car up and I looked down, I can see why. It looks like it's set on blue velvet. It looks like a pearl with the beautiful terracotta roofs and the gorgeous blue sea. It's something else. Tell us a little bit about Dubrovnik.
But Dubrovnik was the independent republic from many years ago. Dubrovnik was one of the first countries that recognized independence of the United States through the efforts of Francesco Favi, the consul in Paris. It was in July 7th, 1783. So it is something that the Dubrovnik people are very proud of. It was the place where the East and the West met, and Dubrovnik was a trade center for them. The trade between the Venetians and between the Ottomans. Both of them also wanted to conquer, but Dubrovnik was really the place that resisted all these battles for many, many years. Actually, Dubrovnik is much more than just beautiful stones and buildings that you can see today. When you immerse into the history and to the culture, you understand how much important it was for the development of the European culture.
Interesting. Now, Antonia, you don't live in Dubrovnik. I know you live in Zagreb, but when you go there, what do you not want to miss as a tourist in Dubrovnik?
I'm sure that we can say that the impression of the beauty of Dubrovnik is something that nobody can miss, because it's such an amazing city, even to us that are from Croatia. Every time we come to Dubrovnik, we are amazed by the beauty of it. Not to be missed are for sure, you know, the gourmet experience of Dubrovnik and the nice excursions that you can make either to the hinterland, so to say, or to the nearby islands that surrounds Dubrovnik. It's a great combination of culture, history, gourmet, and beautiful nature experiences.
Yeah, one of those islands is Lokrum Island. I know I visited that one. That's not far. It has peacocks walking around, and it has a beautiful monastery dating back to 1000 AD, I think. And it's very beautiful. And there are beaches nearby. They're pebbly beaches. They're not perfect, but the islands are all around there. But you certainly have to go on the walls. You have to get on those walls and look at the old town. What are some of the places in the old town that you want to note?
Just not to forget, on Lockrum Island, we have the throne of the Games of Thrones. We are very proud of it. So everyone...
The throne itself.
Yes, the throne itself, exactly. It's on Lockrum Island. So that's now it's overwhelmed with tourists that want to see the throne. Not so much the botanical gardens, which are awesome. As you said, the vegetation, everything is very much preserved. Thanks to one guy, you know how usually it's someone who wanted to make it nice at the time, and then of today it's a cultural heritage as well. However, when you go to the city beside the old walls and the old town as such, you have Stradun, which is the main street, very long street. You have the fortresses, Revelina, Lovrena, the big gate called Pila Gate as well. So there are several gates entering the city. There are two major gates actually, but you can enter the city, of course, from the side. Crawling through the small, very, very narrow street, usually hundreds and hundreds of stairs, you know, you have to reach. So actually usually people who live there had a good condition. It's like fitness, you know, if you have to go up and down 200 stairs many times per day. And then, you know, Rector's Palace, it's one of practically the most important building in Dubrovnik, or Minchata Fortress, which is also the one that you can see in all the photos. It's a big one, round one, very picturesque building in Dubrovnik. So all of these buildings, I just mentioned a few that are most photographed, but are really the landmarks that are very well preserved and restored. You want to have a gorgeous wedding, you can even, in collaboration with the city, you can practically rent that space for you that day.
Good to know. And again, as I mentioned, if you want to go up to the top in a cable car, sunset is a perfect time to go. You can go to a lovely restaurant. I remember at the peak. And it's
Panorama
restaurant. It's a wonderful way to end the day. Now, definitely. Antonia, you are from Zagreb. Tell us a little bit. It's the capital, the largest city of Croatia in the north. What is important there to not miss?
I would say that one of the things not to be missed in Zagreb is one of the most popular Christmas markets in Europe. In addition to this, throughout the whole year, I'd say that Zagreb is the cultural and gourmet capital of Croatia. So it's very good and easy to combine it together with the coast, to come in Zagreb, stay for a couple of nights and discover what Zagreb has to offer as the major city in Croatia. And on the other hand, it is very easily connected with the coast, so you can easily link it.
I know the upper town is the older part and the lower town is the more modern part. So you have lots of cafes and so forth below. And then on top, you have, of course, the Zagreb Cathedral, which is the tallest building in Croatia, back to the 11th century, I do believe. You have many interesting museums. There's one I have to ask you about. I didn't go there, but I've heard of it. It's the Museum of Broken Relationships. What is that?
Yes, that's something fantastic. It's actually a museum that started because a couple who broke up and they said, okay, we are still in good terms. We have all these things that we were given to as a couple. What we do with them? And then they decided to open a museum with their old stuff, let's call it this way. And also the friends started bringing them their presents that they have, like have it like, you know, like memory from a relationship, either someone divorced and then had some memory. So each of these objects there has its own story. And this story is written, of course, it's not a long story. It's usually in like one sentence or two sentences. But when you scroll to the museum, no matter, it should be like, let's say, a sad museum. Actually, it's super fun and super exciting. And you have really a good time. They open a few franchises like this. Actually, this museum, it's also being like hosted at other museums throughout the world. And besides the Museum of Broken Relationship, there is one really, really super cool museum that there are a few franchises open in the United States. It's a Museum of Illusions. It's also in Zagreb, very nearby. It's made Illusions. Yeah, Museum of Illusions. Yeah. There is one in New York as well. I think it's like 9th Avenue and 14th Street, something like that, but in that area, definitely. And there are others also in Vegas recently opened. So there are a few across Washington, I remember, last year, Chicago. So yes, there are two crazy franchises from Croatia that are now conquering the world. And it's really
interesting.
Super
cool. You think about art and you think about medieval facts and things like that, but to think of these wonderful sort of whimsical places. That's fun to know about. Now, you mentioned the gourmet food in Zagreb. There's a marketplace I know that has wonderful foods that you can stroll around. What are some of the classic foods that you would eat when you go there? What should you not miss?
Well, when in Zagreb and in general, this northern central area, there is something that is very popular. It's actually pastry with cheese, very specific cheese made in these small villages. It's something that you can taste it in the restaurant of the Hotel Esplanade, which is a famous hotel in the city center of Zagreb that was established at the occasion of the Orient Express train that was running at that time 100 years ago. Actually, yes, it's going to be like 100 years this hotel was open. And for example, the Strukli, the most famous, you will try in Esplanade Hotel. Of course, anywhere else you can ask for them, but it's something super, super cool to ask and taste.
I think I've heard of it as dirty macaroni. That's a way of saying it. I've heard it, but I know it tastes, okay. No. It tastes delicious, but that's what I've heard it's called. Of course, the grilled fish and the seafood of the area also, I remember, delicious. And your rakia. What is rakia? The delicious drink.
Rakia is something super strong. It's a very strong alcohol. And there are different kinds of rakia. You can make them with some sort of fruits. So they're like more fruity. But in general, bottom line, it's 50% alcohol. So it's really strong.
You don't want to walk on the walls when you drink the rakia.
No. You toast with them. But yeah, it's funny, in the smaller villages, older people take this in the morning, you know, just for the morning, you know, to make the day a good day, you know.
So of course. Okay, let's move on to another wonderful city, Split. It's the second largest city in Croatia. It's on the coast. What should we not miss? Of course, there's one thing we have to mention, and everyone tries to visit it, is Diocletian's Palace. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm very proud to be from Split. Actually, Antonia is also coming from Split. We were both born there. Split is, in terms of Croatia, I will tell you now a little story. It's recognized as Split and the area. Oh, you are just, you know, good looking, smart and lazy. And then, of course, everybody wants to be good looking. Everybody wants to be smart, but nobody wants to be lazy. But then when you know the history that our founder, the Emperor Diocletian, actually who he was, it was the most powerful, not so much known, but the most powerful Roman emperor ever. So at his height, Roman Empire was the largest ever, so large that he said, okay, guys, I'm going to retire. I'm going to build a palace for myself at my mother's birthplace, which is Salona. It's just nearby Split. It's literally the village next to Split. And he said, I divided the Roman Empire into four. He actually put four his people to rule the Roman Empire, and he retired. So actually, it was also the invention of retirement. The concept of retirement came through Diocletian. I remember at that time, nobody was retiring. You either get killed or you suffer from hunger and you die, or you just, you know, simple die. But nobody, I mean, people were working all the time. So he retired. He asked the architects to construct him a palace at the best place. So he let the sheep eat the grass. Where the sheep didn't want to eat the grass, his council said that this is not a good place. So actually, they found the best plot for him to build the palace. And it was nearby also the sulfate waters, because he needed sulfate waters as a cure for his spine. Because, of course, he was, after so many battles, he needed help. Actually, health tourism at that time. So today we call it City of Split. It was actually founded a beautiful palace near the healthy, the healing waters. And with the luxurious rooms that were pertaining to the emperor, while the other half of the palace was inhabited by the soldiers and people who were actually coming as traders, etc. Today, you still have people living in the palace. And we estimate that it is probably the only place, only palace in the world, but people literally live inside. Of course, you don't see it as such unless you have a bird view, or you can see it, of course, from the maquettes that it's a palace. But you can recognize the doors, the gates, you can recognize the buildings, you can recognize many, many fragments that, of course, today were also modernized. And what is important, we have a beautiful hotel inside the palace.
And you have a summer festival.
Inside the palace with the Sphinx, with the cathedral, which is the oldest Catholic cathedral in the world as well, that it's passing through Dalmatia, not visiting Split. It's like not being in Croatia.
Exactly. And the beaches are pretty good, too, around there. I have to say that. Nearby is Plitvice. Am I saying that correctly, or is it Plitvice?
Plitvice.
Yes. Well, it's gorgeous. Whatever I'm saying, it's gorgeous. It's the largest and oldest national park in Croatia. It's a World Heritage Site. It's known throughout the world for its 16 lakes and magnificent waterfalls, upper and lower. Describe it for us, Antonio.
I would like to share my personal experience with Plitvice lakes. So every time, whatever season I come to Plitvice lakes, I always say, oh my God, I have to come here in each and every season, because whenever I go to Plitvice, they are completely different in wintertime, springtime, summertime, or in autumn. It is just fabulous with such a dramatic nature, and it makes us so proud that we have it and that we preserve it nowadays. I can share with you a little bit more about Plitvice Lakes, one of the most attractive natural sites in Croatia.
Proclaimed as Croatia's first national park in April 1949. So it was a really long time ago. And 30 years after, in 1979, that became inscribed into the UNESCO World Heritage List. So they are really, together with Dubrovnik, they are the first ones, I think, Diocletian Palace, all the three of them that were inscribed into UNESCO Heritage List the same year. It's covered with forest vegetation. There are 16 lakes, smaller, and they're all cascading into one each other. We call them the whole lake system. We call it like upper lakes and lower lakes, where we are names, of course, very, very, very homemade, let's say. Each time of the year, you have something different that you can try. However, swimming is not allowed anymore. When I was a kid, yes, it was many years after.
I would say go each season in your lifetime.
Each season, you can solve that
one very easily, right? I have to also mention another beautiful park, Krka, that also has beautiful waterfalls. There are so many of these gorgeous areas beyond the coast. Many people don't go far from the coast, but you have all these inland beautiful areas. And I want to mention the little village, Slunj. Am I pronouncing that right?
Slunj.
It's one of the 54 best tourist villages in the world, according to the World Tourism Organization. Very charming, with wooden houses and rushing waterfalls. And it's in the neighborhood of Rastoki.
Rastoke. It's been also very popular for the local people, especially from Zagreb, which is like 1 hour from, even less, with the highway from Zagreb. And it is like a mixture of little cascades, little lakes, actually a lot of water, the rivers, and small houses, wooden houses. And it looks all like some fairy tale. That's how it looks like in the real world.
Kind of a hidden secret, but it isn't so hidden anymore. But it's one of those special places that many people overlook. So try to keep that in mind when you go to Croatia to visit some of the smaller towns that are like fairy tale towns. Let me just ask about lodging. I know, Antonio, that is your specialty. You represent a group called Stories, which is a collection of boutique hotels which acquaint guests with the legacy of the heritage, and they're set in coves and in thousand-year-old buildings, like we've mentioned, and in castles. Just give us an idea, if you can, where you can stay. I mean, we can stay in a B&B or a hostel. There are so many places, five-star hotels, great lodgings, but this is very special. So give us an idea of what you represent.
Yeah, the hotels within our collection are hand-picked small boutique hotels that each offers a unique experience related either to culture, history, gourmet, or nature. What is very special about them is that they have a very strong character, and they provide a strong sense of the place. So, for instance, we mentioned already in Split, our member is a Vestibule Palace Hotel, which is a small gem hidden in the heart of Emperor Diocletian Palace. Its guests can literally say, I slept where Emperor Diocletian used to sleep, because it is located within previous private corners of Emperor Diocletian. And it is a hotel that was creating from three palaces, merging by three palaces from three different eras, Roman, Gothic, and Renaissance, into one hotel with only seven suites. Ooh. And the hotel has even the original walls from Roman era, from 3rd century, that you can feel and sense and touch in the hotel, in some of the suites also. But on the other hand, we also have hotels in all the noble summer houses. For instance, Kazbek Boutique Hotel in Dubrovnik is exactly that. It is a noble house that was converted to a small hotel with 13 rooms, telling the story again about the nobleman in Dubrovnik that preferred to stay out of the city walls. So they built for themselves these lush Mediterranean summer houses that are now all culturally protected. And Kazbek is, for instance, in one of those. And then we have something completely different, for instance, in Istria, which is the most famous gourmet region of Croatia in the northern part of the Adriatic. We have a wine oasis or olive oil oasis, small gourmet family-run hotels or large wine oasis. And in addition to this, also chic modern hotels like Adriana Hvar on the island of Hvar that perfectly incorporated all flavors and scents of Hvar Island into service they offer. So you have for breakfast, which is known as one of the best breakfasts in Croatia, you can choose from 8 types of honey that are done with local herbs from Hvar Island, or you have a spa treatments with the oils and scents of Hvar Island. I could go on.
Sounds fabulous. I'd like to go to each one of those as well. I think that's all I need to do is keep going to Croatia, to the islands and to the wonderful places to eat and all of this. Sounds terrific. Well, the name of the podcast is Places I Remember. So would each of you share a personal memory of your beautiful country? How about starting with Leila?
Great. Actually, it's a very tough question because when you asked me, the first moment that was, okay, so many times people whom I know, after they are back from Croatia, they said, you know, we had to testify that the photo of the beaches and of the clear blue water, that it's really not photoshopped. Now I'm sure it's not photoshopped because I've been there. And it's something that happened to me literally every year with someone who is traveling and then not sure what they will find there. However, the most picturesque experience, I would say, happened many years ago when the members, 30 people, members of the Gastronomy Academy of Marbella in Spain, they came, 30 of them, to the islands. So from Split to Dubrovnik, they were actually sailing the islands, but also they stayed like a day or two weeks they were doing this kind of trip. So I remember they were coming to Croatia it was in 21 years ago. They came with wines. They brought wines with them. They brought prosciutto. They brought, everything was, of course, vacuumated, but because they were afraid what they are going to find in Croatia. They literally didn't open any Spanish wine. They didn't touch the meat and whatever prosciutto and cheese they actually brought with them. They literally gave it to the cook just to have it, you know, for later times. First day, they went to see that's why I remember so vividly, the Nabucco Opera. So they were eating local, organic, local food, local vegetables, local fruits. Everything was so made, you know, local. Actually met how they visited the Dalmatian coast and the islands. They wanted to buy the wines. And I remember there's a major thing for me was the owner of the little winery in Brač Island didn't want to sell them more. He said, you are the friends of my friends. I gave you the best wine, which I keep for my family. I gave you to you to taste it. One glass for each. You are 30. I'm not going to give you more because I don't have such a quantity. And the best, I want to keep it for my family. It was so good that they were ready to buy the whole quantity. It was a time when Croatia really started to build its way on the gourmet scene in Europe. Now we can see that, and we witness that we built it on a much global scale, not only Europe, but I would say globally in the world. And this a little story, it remembers me that only 20 years ago, people were so surprised to find some good food and good wine here. And today, that is the reason why people come to Croatia, especially from the US.
Excellent. Thank you. Antonia, what about you?
When I was a kid, I used to spend my summers on the sailing boat, sailing all around Adriatic coast. And one of the most memorable experiences that I remember is once when we were sailing from the island of Hvar to the island of Korčula. We were sailing through this large channel that is between these two islands. And all of a sudden, a dolphin came by the side of our boat. And for a short period of time, we were sailing together. So all you could hear was the engines were off, of course, of the boat. And all the sounds that you can hear is the boat sliding on the surface of the sea and the dolphin swimming by the side. And it was such an amazing emotion. We feel like we were connected. Amazing. You felt so small in this large, beautiful nature, connected with this amazing animal, this amazing creature.
So often the simplest of memories are the ones we remember our entire lives. That's beautiful. Yeah. Croatia is indeed a special country. Thank you, Leila Kresek-Djurek, Director of the Croatian National Tourism Board in North America, and Antonia Ehrlich, President of Stories Hotel, for sharing your insights and memories about your beautiful country. Thank you.
Thank Thank you, Leah.
Thank you, Leah, for inviting.
Thanks for listening to our award-winning podcast. We've recorded over 100 episodes of Places I Remember, so follow us on any podcast app. And new monthly episodes are also on YouTube with gorgeous video. My book, Places I Remember, is available in print and Kindle, and I read the audio version. Follow my travel writing at Forbes.com. Contact me at the links in the show notes or on my website, placesiremember.leahlane.com, and keep making your own travel memories.